Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, it's Friday. It's hour number two. The week has absolutely flown on by. I got to tell you, I loved it so much. I'll watch a little of the Atlanta Hawks, Dallas Mavericks, to watch a little of the Dodgers, who decided last night to get all their hits throughout the series in one night. Chris Taylor, three jacks. It's the Herd wherever you may be, however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. Dodgers have Max Scherzer going in game six, so that's an advantage. But the Braves may have Charlie Morton going game seven. That's an advantage for them. Dodgers have good pitching matchups the last two games. So crazier things have happened. They look like they were in big trouble against the Giants.
It's not over yet.
Not over yet, but Justin Turner's out.
Yeah.
That's not good. Trey Turner's not hitting. It doesn't feel like it's kind of the right year, but Dodgers got lucky. They got the pitching matchups they want in game six and seven. They got Max Scherzer, that's who you'd want, and Walker Buehler. So you cross your fingers. Can they get hits? That's Joy Taylor, of course. So, Joy, I've not gotten off to a great start. So my entire life doing this, I've been doing this for 20 years, Blazing Five. I hit about 57%.
Yeah.
That's what pro bettors make. Last year, COVID, all of us who do this struggled. I was at 50%. This year, I stink. And a lot of it is because, I don't know what the reason is. And so I'm trying to, I'm doing a lot of, voodoo at home.
Yeah.
Trying to
lighten some sage.
So this time, Joy, I'm going to do the opposite of what I've done. I don't like any of these picks. I'm going to stop being so confident.
Okay.
But you just listen to them and you tell me if you like them. Blazing Five brought to you by Fox Bet Sportsbook. Here we go.
That's a hot one. Let's blaze it up.
Fire it up.
It's Collins Blazing Five. Bengals at Ravens.
Bengals get 6.5. I'm going to take Cincinnati. Here's why. Analytics matter, especially on defense. And the Bengals defense is allowing 18 points a game. That's fifth best in the league. But analytically, they're a top 3 to 4 run defense. And we know they can score. Joe Burrow this year, top 6 and 7 in completion percentage, passer rating. The offense is excellent. Jamar Chase is a home run. We know they'll score. That's not the question. They're averaging 9 yards per attempt, fourth highest in the league. But the Ravens, four of their six games have been decided by one possession. Three of their five wins have come on the last drive of the game. And the Ravens have played back-to-back-to-back highly emotional games. I think they narrowly win. My daughter's going to be at this game, but I'm going to take the Bengals to cover 30-27 Ravens field goal late to win it.
Panthers at Giants.
I'm going to take Carolina -2.5. Here's why. Okay, the Panthers defense is excellent. It forces you 3 and out 38% of the time. That is highest in the league. They're also second on third down percentage. You have a lot of quick drives. And the Giants are physically a disaster. Saquon Barkley, Kenny Galladay, Sterling Shepard, Kadarius Toney, Evan Ingram, Andrew Thomas, probably all out. Darius Slayton practice, he may play. The Giants are also a team, and this is rare, they're worse at home. They're 0-3 at home. This is going to be an ugly, low-scoring game. But I trust Carolina, the healthier offense, to win by more than 3. Panthers' Sam Darnold gets the W, 26-20.
Eagles at Raiders.
Like it, I love it. I love the Eagles +3. First of all, their offense is averaging 3 yards before contact. What does that mean? Good old line. 5.2 yards per carry, top three. What does that mean? Good old line. And they get Lane Johnson back this week, their best offensive lineman. Jalen Hurts has 3.1 seconds to throw per pass. What does that mean? Great offensive line that gets better. I love the Eagles now healthy O-line dominating time of possession against the Raiders' defensive front. And by the way, the Eagles' defense this year is not terrible. It has played pretty well with good corners. Top 6 in yards per play, pass attempt yards per play. Raiders' defense, a mess. Bottom 5 in the league. Pass rush is one guy, Max Crosby. Eagles win, upset them 24-23.
Bears at Buccaneers.
I'll take Tampa -12.5, and I hate big numbers, but for Chicago to win, they have to run the football. They're near the bottom every passing statistic. They have a terrible offensive line. You cannot run on Tampa Bay. Vita Vea, the defensive interior for the Buccaneers, is outstanding. Nobody runs on Tampa. Number one rush defense in the league. They give up 50 yards rushing, 54 yards rushing. So Chicago's going to have to pass. Well, since week three, Justin Fields last in everything passing. Bad O-line, inconsistent run game. He was sacked four times last week against the Packers alone. He's been sacked 16 times in four starts. There's a reason the line's big. There's a reason I like the matchup. I think Tampa wins this game 33-17. Could be worse.
Colts at 49ers.
Like it. I love it. I'm going to take the 49ers. The line now has moved in our favor. It's now San Francisco minus four. The Niners, offensive coaches who I respect off a bye. Andy Reid, great. Sean Payton, great. How did Sean McVay do off a bye against the Giants? Kyle Shanahan off a bye. Niners, only team with a losing record in football that's outgained their opponents. This is a good team that can't get the quarterback healthy. Now he's healthy. Garoppolo, since 2017, is 24-10 as their quarterback. 98 passer rating, 67% completion percentage. Meanwhile, now the Colts are banged up, lost a safety. T.Y. Hilton might not play. And their defense, by the way, is giving up 6 yards a play. Bottom third in the NFL. TV game, standalone game. I like the Niners to win and cover 32-23. All right, there you go. I'm turning around this week. So I'm taking...
I like the Bengals also.
You can only ask a team to play so many big games. My daughter's so funny. She called me, Dad, I'm going to be in Baltimore. Can I get 4 tickets to the Ravens? It's like asking for Packer tickets. But the Ravens, by the way, have been unbelievable. And we paid for great seats. And that, you know what? You can tell a well-run organization when you call them. The Ravens got right back to me in 2 seconds.
And I just love that.
Like such a great organization. And they didn't know it was me. It was some Connecticut phone number. And all of a sudden, boom, picked it right up. Got me to the person. They know what they're doing. You ever call a company and go, they don't know what they're doing on the phone? All the time.
And then when you get to a company that does know what they're doing, it's just so pleasant.
It's like you go to a restaurant. If the bathroom's dirty, what's the kitchen look like? That's always my theory.
Bathrooms for women are a very big thing.
If the bathroom's dirty, I don't even know what the kitchen looks like. And if I call your company and you're bad on the phone, no soup for you. I'm out.
The only place that's acceptable for the bathroom to be a mess is a dive bar. I'll allow it.
Stadiums are pretty bad, too. Eric Mangini, 3 rings, Fox Sports NFL analyst, joins us. By the way, you live in Cleveland. I don't know if you know this. I am beloved in Cleveland. And
beloved in Cleveland.
I really am. I said this last night. That offensive line for the Browns is so good. It is such a good offensive line. I think Stefanski's a terrific young coach. And there are certain organizations like Green Bay, Kansas City, are very much led by their quarterback. But Case Keenum and Baker, you can turn and hand it off. You can get a lot of yards. I don't believe this is a quarterback-driven franchise. I think it's an O-line coach-driven franchise. Now Baker's got 2 injuries. Peter King said an hour ago, he goes, I'd play Case Keenum until Baker is as healthy as he's going to be. Listen, Baker's better than Case. The gap's not that huge, in my opinion. What would you do going forward with that whole Case Keenum-Baker thing?
Well, yeah, I had Bill Callahan in New York, the offensive line coach in Cleveland, and he's arguably the best in the NFL, if not one of the best all time. And it is a running back, offensive line, running game-driven team, and the quarterback can do the worst thing he can do is mess up the game most of the time.
Yeah.
And they've got talent at all different positions. I agree. I think you play Case Keenum for as long as you possibly can, because there isn't a significant difference, it appears, between the two. And it allows Baker a chance to fully heal, but it also gives you a chance to evaluate how much you need from that quarterback spot. And they've got to make a big decision on Baker's contract. And this will give the organization, everybody in the organization, a chance to assess life without Baker.
Yeah. You know, we were talking about Deshaun Watson earlier, but Jimmy Garoppolo is interesting. It would be easy to say, well, he'll have no market because he's always hurt. And then I started counting all the teams that don't have a quarterback. I got to about 9, and I'm like, that doesn't even count the Giants if they bail on Daniel Jones. And my takeaway is Jimmy Garoppolo is going to have value on this market, Coach. There's a lot of teams. I mean, Deshaun will take one team. Aaron may move. That's another. Would you be petrified to go and get a Garoppolo with those injuries? Or what if you just didn't have a quarterback?
Yeah, you'd be really worried. And it would depend on what you'd have to pay to go get him. How much you'd have to pay in terms of trading for him, what you'd have to pay in terms of his contract. And the injuries are one element that scare you. The other element is this team who has him gave away so much to get his replacement.
Yeah.
And that worries you. They have as much firsthand knowledge of him as a starter as anybody, and they gave away so much to find his replacement after they had given Jimmy so much to bring him in. And you remember in the playoff run in the Super Bowl, they did everything they could to limit his ability to affect the game. And that's a pretty big concern too. Now, there aren't a lot of quarterbacks out there. He has been successful in spurts. And when you compare him to alternatives,
yeah,
he may be the best alternative that you have in the market.
You know, it's interesting. I've noticed this. When I feel the media is being unfair, then I feel like supporting people. And I think Urban Meyer deserves a lot of criticism for his personal life snafus and that stuff. But I have watched them play now four times. I watched them lead Arizona at half. I watched them beat Miami, and I thought out-coach Brian Flores. I have seen them play very competitive. They led Denver at half. They were competitive with Tennessee. And I think there's a lot of writers in the media that don't want to see some hotshot college guy come into the pros. But I had Greg Cosell on this week, and he said, they're actually doing a great job with Trevor Lawrence. He's getting better every week. What do you make of Trevor Lawrence, Urban Meyer today? Have we been unrealistically harsh on him? Do you think they have a pulse?
Well, there's a big learning curve when you go from college football to pro football, and that happens for great coaches. Nick Saban, who was in pro football and then went to college and came back, he decided to go back to college football. But I have people that I talk to who have spent time there, and I really trust their opinion. And they say that Urban's done a good job, and that he's organized, he's got a plan, he's got a philosophy, he has a lot of really positive things in place, but it's going to take some time for those things to take hold, and he's going to have to learn what it's like to coach in pro football versus college football. So you don't win as many games as he's won over the course of his career without being a good coach. Now, making the adjustment to the NFL, you know, we'll see how well that goes, but people who are there say that he's done positive things, a lot of positive things.
By the way, Belichick, your guy, now is struggling. He's lost four home games. Okay, this league is tough. If you were in that building, how do you think Bill looks around and he sees your Josh Allen's and your Mahomes and your Lamar's and your Herbert's, I mean, and Trevor Lawrence and Burrow's good. Do you think there's optimism in that building? They can't win home games. Or do you think reality is setting in is this post-Tom thing is way worse than we thought?
I would think there's optimism. And Mac Jones has done some great things. And I realize that people criticize the fact that he hasn't gone down the field. But he's doing the things that they're asking him to do. And I think organizationally, they've been smart with the way that they've brought him along. He's going to have to take more chances down the field to push the defensive backs off and to slow down some of the pressure, to make people pay for the pressure. But a lot of the rookie quarterbacks have struggled and struggled a lot worse than he has. This is the first quarterback Bill Belichick has ever drafted in the first round in his career. And comparatively to the other guys that are in this class, you could argue that Mac Jones has done the best job.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. Did you think Stafford and the Rams, did you think it would look this good? I looked at the numbers this week. Eric, they're better than Aaron Rodgers' best year. I mean, it's just so quick and so easy. Are you a little surprised it has been this slick?
I'm a little surprised, but playing against Matt Stafford over the years, coaching against him, he's really good. And he's tough. He can hurt you in a lot of different ways. You talk about players that can make all the throws and arm strength and all those things that you look for. He has, and he's been in a bad situation for a long time. Although if you're a really great quarterback, typically you transform bad organizations.
Right.
Often, and that's my biggest hesitation or the thing that I can't rectify in my mind is great quarterbacks typically change teams, change organizations, and things flow up from them. And as good as Matthew has played, he wasn't able to transform that organization in Detroit.
Could I argue it's so bad that both Calvin Johnson and Barry Sanders left 4 years early? That maybe it's much worse. By the way, they're 0-6 without him this year. They're 5-28 in his career when he missed a game due to an injury. That's way worse than Cleveland. We roll our eyes at Cleveland. That's way worse than Cleveland, right?
Yeah, it could be that bad, but the volume of people that have gone through in terms of GMs and head coaches, you would think that one of those patterns would hit. Sometimes, though, when you've got tough ownership and when you've got ownership that can be extremely disruptive, it doesn't matter who you bring in because you can't ever get it right. It's just too much to overcome. And I don't know what that situation is like, but that's usually indicative of why an organization struggles for as long as they do.
By the way, this week, Jimmy Johnson came on the air and said he is actually surprised that Dak Prescott has become this accurate a passer. That it generally, a guy's got a feel or he doesn't. And that he made two throws against the Patriots, just feathered the ball down the field. And in your history of coaching, there are certain things you can coach up. There are other things that are hard. Are you surprised that Dak now is a really, I mean, it's a pretty ball to watch now.
No, what I think that Dallas has done a great job of is going back to the running game. And I've talked about this over and over. When Dak played his best was his rookie season when they led the NFL in rushing yards and rushing attempts, because that changes the dynamic of what you're getting defensively. And every time they've asked him to throw, I think it's 48 passes or more, he's 1-6 in his career. So from an accuracy perspective, yeah, it is really hard for a player to get more accurate. You can take incremental jumps, but to see substantial jumps, usually that doesn't happen. But what does make things a lot easier for quarterbacks is when you run the ball consistently and change the volume of coverages you're getting. That helps a lot. And I love that Dallas is doing that. I think that's the biggest difference between where they are now and where they were.
Eric Mangini, have a great weekend, Coach. Good talking to you.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Tonight, the ALCS heads back to Houston, where the Astros are one win away from punching their ticket to the World Series. While the Red Sox fight to stave off elimination, coverage of the ALCS Game 6 begins at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific on FS1 and the Fox Sports app. And David Ortiz is putting $10,000 on the line for Game 6 on the Fox Bet Super 6 app. Scan the QR code, download the app, and answer 6 questions about the game. Before the first pitch later tonight on FS1 for your chance to win Poppy's money, call on who wins and by how many runs.
Astros 7-4, Luis Garcia, talented young pitcher. Both starting pitchers have scrapped a little postseason. Take the Astros. Lot of runs tonight. Lot of runs. Houston 7-4. By the way, I thought of this. This just jumped out at me. I would hire an offensive coach, not a defensive coach, going forward. That doesn't mean defensive coaches can't work, but just something to think about. I'm watching Denver last night, defensive coach. That's a good roster. Don't have a quarterback. Don't have below average quarterback. Washington, all we did was complain all offseason. That's a good roster. Don't have a quarterback. Miami has probably been the most disappointing team in the NFL this year. Don't have the quarterback right. Interesting to think about. All three of them, Miami, Washington, Denver, could have attacked the quarterback. All have defensive coaches. So Denver had the number 9 pick, could add a quarterback. Now I'm going to go corner. Washington was below Chicago. Chicago moved ahead of them to get a quarterback. Miami traded out of the number 3 spot, could add a quarterback. Did defensive coaches not understand the value of quarterback? Why do I bring this up? What did Cliff Kingsbury do, offensive coach in Arizona? Lobbied for Kyler Murray. Matt Stafford had a quarterback, Sean McVay had a quarterback that got to a Super Bowl. He lobbied to Stan Kroenke, the owner. Get me a better quarterback. Frank Reich lobbied Chris Ballard. Get me Carson Wentz, who has 9 TDs, 1 pick, and playing better. In Chicago, Matt Nagy lobbied the GM and the owner. We got to move up and get a quarterback. Do you got defensive coaches? Do they get what's happening? I love Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin, 2 years, has not aggressively pursued a quarterback. You think Sean McVay coaches the Steelers? He's sitting back there, yeah, I like the old guy we got now. I mean, let's be honest. Pete Carroll, defensive coach, traded 2 first-round picks, a third-round pick, and a safety. For a safety. You think an offensive coach would do that? Bill Belichick can't draft wide receivers and tight ends. Defensive coach. You start looking around this league right now, these defensive coaches, Pete struggling, Belichick struggling, Tomlin struggling, Flores is struggling, Fangio struggling, Ron Rivera struggling. Doesn't mean they can't coach. Do they get the value of quarterback? Do they get it? I mean, let's be honest. Belichick and Russell Pete Carroll and Belichick lucked into theirs. Russell Wilson, 3rd round, Brady, 6th. I'm just saying, I would hire an offensive coach. You start looking around the NFL right now. Do you understand these defensive coaches? Oh, I can win with this guy. All these offensive coaches, they're doing their work before the draft. They're like, we got to move up and get a quarterback. Miami shouldn't have this problem. Washington shouldn't have this problem. Denver shouldn't have this problem. Denver had a chance to get a quarterback. You think Sean McVay would have been happy with Bridgewater and Drew Locke? Cliff Kingsbury would have been? Frank Reich would have been? I'm just saying. I mean, I watched Denver last night, and I'm like, they had a draft pick. Washington. All we did in the offseason, we're like,
what did I say about Washington? How many times did I say about Washington?
What are we doing here? What are we doing?
Fitzpatrick's nice. We all love him. Okay.
I'm just saying.
That was their solution.
These offensive guys, these offensive coaches, they are lobbying in the pre-draft. Like, we've got to get a quarterback. They get how valuable it is.
Denver could have had Justin Fields and Mac Jones.
Now they have no future. Washington has no future. Miami's got, you know, say what you want about Tua. They're making a deal for Deshaun Watson. So I'm just saying this is why I'd hire an offensive coach. It's not just, you start looking at some of these defensive coaches right now. Belichick, Tomlin, Pete Carroll. The league's moving. And it's Belichick's obviously never put the kind of emphasis on wide receiver and tight end talent and running back talent that other offensive coaches has. Been last 10 years. Gronk's their only good find. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Yeah, Patrick Surtain is a great player.
Not even, but
it's not, it was a bad draft pick.
Not worth a point per game.
But I mean, they don't have a quarterback.
When something happens over and over and over and over again, it's no longer a coincidence. These defensive coaches all had opportunities to upgrade at quarterback. We love Mike Tomlin. But if you think Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay would have been satisfied 3 years ago with Big Ben's decline, they would have said, pal, either we're moving you or I'm drafting a quarterback.
I mean, the Steelers situation, I think, is a little bit different just because of the climate in Pittsburgh.
He's a legend.
The contract. Like, yeah. That's a slightly different situation than Denver and Washington. Like, you had a whole side of the ball solved in Washington, and you didn't get a quarterback.
Ron Rivera.
Denver, you had an opportunity to take not one, but two of these rookie quarterbacks, Mac Jones or Justin Fields.
And you dot.
And he took a cornerback.
The coach did not sit in there with the GM and lobby and say,
in a division with Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert.
And Derek Carr.
Derek Carr.
I mean, so again, do these defensive coaches, they know the game's changing, but are they really lobbying? Do they really truly get, you cannot win in this league? This right now, the best quarterback leads 7 of 8 divisions. Last week, 13 of 14 teams with a better quarterback won. And it would have been 14 of 14 had Josh Allen not slipped on a banana peel. It would have been 14 out of 14.
So Baker Mayfield spoke to Fox Sports' Jay Glazer last night before the game. And he revealed he suffered a tuberosity fracture in his left shoulder in addition to the torn labrum. Mayfield added that the fracture in the non-throwing shoulder is preventing his rotator cuff from firing. He said that he needs the fracture to heal to get back out there, but he's hoping to return for the game against the Steelers on October 31st. Mayfield suffered a torn labrum in week 2 but he aggravated the injury again in Sunday's loss to Arizona. And the Browns were just fine last night.
Done. All the numbers. Listen, again.
Well, look, I mean, before we get ahead of ourselves here, they both teams had a lot of injuries last night.
No question.
And the Browns running backs coach deserves a lot of credit.
Yep.
And their offensive line deserves a lot of credit. Because even though Case Keenum was 21 of 33 for 109 passing yards and a touchdown, that game was about the running game and D'Ernest Johnson.
Yeah.
And that was a tremendous performance by not only the offensive line, but also D'Ernest Johnson. And Case Keenum was able to look the way that he looked because of the running game. I mean, they were slashing the Broncos, and that's why they won. But that's how the Browns are built to win. Like, they're built in the trenches. They're built for that, which is why which is how you should build a team, especially if you're in the AFC North. Now, the Broncos offense in the first half was a disaster. 76 total yards, 58 passing yards, and 18 rushing yards and an interception. They had two first downs in the whole first half.
Yeah.
But they got some momentum going in the second half, but that game last night was about the Browns' offensive line and their run game. But as it pertains to Baker Mayfield,
you can play Case Keenum and probably be favored. The line's going to move a point and a half. If you go look at their next four games, they're absolutely going to be favored in three of their four with Case Keenum. And Peter King said, just get Baker healthier than he is now.
No, getting Baker healthy is the goal here. I don't... We just had a conversation about settling at the quarterback position, right?
Yeah.
And each situation is a little bit different. Case Keenum is not going to get you to the Super Bowl. Like, that's not how the Browns roster is not that great. That is not the situation here. I still am a little higher on Baker Mayfield than everyone else is, but I think that's mostly because the Browns have been such a disaster for so long. I'm not saying that they shouldn't consider all options at the end of the season, but don't get greedy. Like, we saw what happened with the Washington football team when they moved on from Kirk Cousins, who we all think has some level of limitations. But I think you can win a Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins if you have enough talent. If you have enough talents, you can.
Yeah, if you have the 75 Steelers.
Okay, what would you rather be Washington right now?
No, but I mean, I guess the point is nobody really wants Kirk, but you deal with it if you're bottom four. I mean, again, we all know the game here. You once you have a good quarterback, you got to pay him. Once you pay him, you're not going to have a great team.
But here's my question. There are certain situations where you're never going to be bad enough to get into a situation to get a young quarterback without giving a haul to move up in the draft.
Yeah.
So you have to manage your team appropriately to have those picks to move up in the draft, or you have to have someone like Kirk Cousins and Baker Mayfield. There's not that many options on the board. Their roster's too good to be in the situation to get a young quarterback. So what do you do?
If I was Cleveland, I would never give Baker Mayfield big money.
Well, the money is the important part.
Right.
I think the question with Baker Mayfield comes down to the money. How much are you going to pay him so that you can keep the roster around him what it is? And that's going to come down to...
His agent.
His agent.
Yeah.
So Tyler Herro scored 27 points in 24 minutes off the bench in the Heat's 137-95 victory over the Bucks last night. He shot 10 for 18 from the field, had 6 rebounds and 5 assists. He said after the game about the Bucks last year, we felt like we got embarrassed. Jimmy Butler had 21 points. Bam Adebayo had 20 points. And Kyle Lowry only scored 5 points, but Herro and Bam said he made a huge difference. It was a really commanding performance by the Heat all night. They're looking very complete right now, and a very shocking performance by Milwaukee, especially coming off of how they looked opening night. But Miami shot 53.1% from the field and committed only 11 turnovers. I think the East is going to be a lot more interesting this year. The West isn't as good as it has been in years past.
True.
And I think we're going to get a much more even playoffs this year. The Heat's next game is tomorrow against the Pacers. So Wednesday's report that a trade sending Deshaun Watson to the Dolphins could be completed by the end of the week was followed by another one saying that other teams have been in communication about a Watson deal, including the Panthers. Well, head coach Matt Rhule was asked about whether the team is doing due diligence on quarterbacks, and Rhule said that he thinks Sam Darnold will be a great quarterback and the team is not working on anything else. He said, I'm bought in on Sam. My biggest thing is making sure that me and quarterbacks coach Sean Ryan and Joe Brady do a better job of putting Sam in the best position. He's my focus, and I expect him to play his best football moving forward. I'm not looking anywhere else.
Well, Sam's fine if you have a running game, so I think what they're going to do in the offseason is upgrade the offensive line and draft another running back, because Christian McCaffrey at this point, you can't depend on him. Good player, but can't depend on him. I mean, it's great, but
he has to be healthy.
Yep. It's like OBJ is not healthy. So I think they have to upgrade the interior of their offensive line. I would go get it's a great center class. I'd go get a center, another offensive lineman, and I'd get a running back because Sam is fine if you ask him to throw 32 times, not 39 to 43, and that's when he gets in trouble.
Well, Darnold is signed for next season.
Yeah.
Because they exercised their fifth-year option on his contract. They're 3-3 right now. He's got 7 passing touchdowns and 7 interceptions. As you mentioned, the running game is the issue here. Yeah. They face the Giants on Sunday in New York and are currently 3-point favorites, according to Fox Bet. You mentioned earlier in the show going down some of the teams that will need a quarterback next year, because obviously there are other teams being mentioned in the Watson trade, and you know there's some questions about if Sam Darnold can get things going. He does have to be limited in the running game. There's going to be a lot. We do this every year. Like we think everybody has their quarterback and everyone's got it sorted out. And then about this point through the season, we're like, oh, nope, we do actually have a lot of questions. The Dolphins, the Broncos, the Browns, as we just discussed, the Texans, Washington, possibly the Giants, possibly the Lions. Atlanta's stuck with Matt Ryan for another year, but there's going to be a lot of movement at the quarterback position. And some guys who I think are going to get a second chance opportunity who are backups right now as well, because there's just a lot of teams that need that position.
There is. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd
Jason McIntyre. Tomorrow's headlines today next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Long ago, got rid of that print media career, kicked that thing to the curb. As I was his mentor for years and years, I got him into digital and gaming and podcasting. Now he's a big deal, Jason McIntyre. We're moving you up 1 hour because we have the Packers Mercedes Lewis. And we thought, let's get you out here in your nice suit Friday, get you home early to your family. All right. So you as a former newspaper guy, we predict the headlines. You make your picks. You're bizarrely accurate, frustratingly accurate. Tomorrow's headlines today. Jets, Patriots, what you got?
I haven't picked the Jets a lot here on this show. Now, I did pick them when they beat the Titans. You remember that?
Yes.
The headline will be, time to celebrate. I love the Jets this weekend. Irrational love, Colin. Think about this. The Patriots, it's been a 3-week really tough stretch for them, right?
It has.
The massive Brady game, then they go on the road and they look awful against the Texans, and they have to fight hard to come back and win that. Then they have to get up for Dallas, one of the best teams in the league, lose in overtime. I can see this as a flat spot for them, and my Jets, are getting healthy. Marcus May back at practice. They got 2 other potential starters back in the lineup. I'm just saying, Zach Wilson was awful the first time these two teams met. 2 interceptions, I think, in the first 2 drives. Finished with 4. He's seen the Patriots defense. And listen, they're not great. We saw the Cowboys work up 500 yards of offense. I'm telling you, don't take the Patriots in your Survivor League this week. Jets will pull the upset outright.
I totally disagree.
Stop laughing, guys.
Tomorrow's headlines today. Joy and I can't wait for this. I'm not even going to bet this one. I like it so much. No. I don't want to be stressed out. Chiefs at the Titans.
You never get stressed, though. You're so chill and laid back. California cool, Colin.
Oh, no. This one gets me nervous. What do we got here?
The headline will be, forget the Titans, remember the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. I like Kansas City going on the road here, pulling out the win. It was nice of Tennessee to celebrate winning the Super Bowl Monday night. You know, that was kind of an impressive performance. They got lucky as hell. Let's be honest. They were outplayed by the Bills.
Oh, outgained, outplayed.
I mean, out everything. You know, if Josh Allen doesn't slip on fourth down, they lose the game. And I just look at Kansas City. I know the defense is much maligned. Chris Jones expected back this week, their best defender. Did you see they held Washington to 76 yards in the second half? Now, I know Washington's a tire fire, a phrase you love. I can see Tennessee totally winning the Super Bowl Monday, struggling in this game, and the Chiefs, as struggling as they are with the turnovers, they're number one in points per drive in the NFL.
Well,
they've punted
10
times.
This
is an offense. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, they've punted 10 times. Yeah. They just turned the ball over.
That's the
Tomorrow's
problem.
Headlines today, Bengals at the Ravens. I think we could have an upset here.
Oh, boy. That's a risky call, Colin. The headline will be, welcome to the Lamarship Enterprise. little Star Trek reference for a Friday. I like the Ravens here. Everybody is talking about the Bengals having a chance, and then you think about it like, oh, Zach Taylor against John Harbaugh. Kind of a coaching mismatch there. I won't even remind people what's happened the last like four times these teams have met. Ravens just kicked their teeth in badly. It's ugly. When the Bengals step up in class against a good defense, what happened in Chicago? They were totally blanked for three quarters. Couldn't move the football. This Ravens defense is rounding into form. I like Baltimore here. I'm staying away. I like Baltimore in my teasers for the gamblers out there. But this could go either way. But I think Baltimore is clearly the better side. And the coaching mismatch, I can't entertain the Bengals here.
All right. Tomorrow's headlines today. Lions at the Rams. You know, Joy and I, I'll say this before we get to this. Joy and I disagreed. I had no problem kicking Goff to the curb. She has more empathy in life than I do. Yeah. But my theory was McVay went to Mexico, ran into Stafford at a hotel. Eight teams were after Stafford, and he's like, I don't care about Goff. I got to get him.
Stafford's a good hang. He's a cool guy. Yeah. You know, his wife is cool. Yeah, fun guy. And he fits this offense well. The headline will be Goff and running from Aaron Donald. Jared Goff's in some trouble this week, okay? That offensive line is beat to hell. When the Bengals can get after you with their defensive line.
Weren't you shocked at what a blowout that
was?
Yeah,
that was bad. It was a no-show from Detroit. They had been fighting for weeks, and then they let their guard down. We don't like to talk about double-digit spreads on here. I think this is up to 16.5 or something. It's a little insane. This could be a flat spot for the Rams. Remember, they went east, were kind of sleepy for a quarter, and then they scored 38 in a row on the Giants. I'll just say this. If the Lions come down and score a touchdown, live bet your house on the Rams to come back and crush them at a better number. There's no path to victory here for Detroit. The Rams really are a sleeping giant. Everybody's talking Arizona, Dallas.
It's true.
Rams, keep an eye on them in the NFC.
Tomorrow's headlines today, Bears-Bucks. Bears are not going to be able to run the football. Aren't you worried about that?
Are they going to be able to do anything? The headline will be never forget Brady won't. Obviously a rematch from last year's Thursday night game where Brady forgot what down it was. I think we had fun with that on the show a year ago. And I just want to remind some people, when the Bears have to face a good defensive front, what happens? The Browns sacked Justin Fields like 9 times, okay? Yes, yeah. The Bucks have an incredible front four, and I can just see this being a mauling in Tampa. The Bears, they showed well against the Raiders a couple weeks ago. They fought hard against the Packers. This is a different animal. This Tampa team is good. The defense is very ferocious. Todd Bowles, Colin, very good defensive mind against Justin Fields. I feel bad for the rookie. I like Tampa big.
Yeah, I do too. In fact, I have a rule that I never bet double-digit favorites.
I'm with you.
And there's 3 this week and almost 4, so I took Tampa.
Okay. That's the one I took as well. Yeah. Boy, we're in lockstep.
So this is one of my favorite bets of the week. I'm going to see what side you're on. Tomorrow's headlines today, Colts 49ers TV game, big one.
I see all this sharp professional gambling money coming in on the Colts. The headline will be Jimmy better late night than Carson. I like Jimmy G. Oh, good laugh out of that one. Jimmy G returning to the 49ers. I just want to point out, this is more a play against the Colts for me. They've been
up
on the road 4 times in 5 weeks. This is an exhausting stretch. And Colin, we know we love to talk look-aheads. Next week they play Tennessee. They've already lost to Tennessee once. If they want to get to the playoffs, they must win next week. So all these guys who are on the fence, Quentin Nelson, he's back at practice. He's going to play the right tackle. They lost a safety to an Achilles for the season.
Second year safety.
By the way, T.Y. Hilton came back last week. He's already hurt again. The receiver, Paris Campbell, hurt again. No team is punting on a game, but if you have to think big picture, and if the Colts want to get to the playoffs, they must win next week. This game doesn't mean anything. I like San Francisco, Kyle Shanahan off the bye week. Give me the Niners. If it's 3.5, I got to take it.
Okay, it is my second favorite bet of the week. I'll throw one at you.
You have Niners as well?
Yeah, I love the Niners.
Good.
My
All
second
right.
favorite bet. My first bet, Philadelphia plus points.
All right.
I love the Eagles. Yeah.
That will be down close to pick by kickoff. I guarantee it.
So Lane Johnson's back.
Huge.
He is. I'll tell you know you're great on the offensive line when your return has it the second best bet in Vegas.
Yeah. The left tackle now gets to go back to his natural position. And Max Crosby is going to get neutralized. And people forget the Raiders defense outside of Crosby is nothing.
Nothing.
He leads the league in hits and hurries. Outside of him, it's bad. The secondary's beat up. I like Jalen Hurst to have a big game. I might be a good fantasy play for the fantasy gamblers out there.
By the way, Joy and I were talking about this about 15 minutes ago. This is an interesting one. We love Belichick and Tomlin. And look at all the coaches right now that are struggling. Tomlin didn't make a move at quarterback 2 years ago. Belichick can't draft a receiver. Fangio could have taken a quarterback, took a corner. Brian Flores, we lobbied, go get a quarterback last year. Ron Rivera, we like, quarterback issue. It's interesting. Look at the quarter. We know it's an offensive league. Look at the teams with brighter futures and winning. Cliff Kingsbury lobbied for Kyler Murray. McVay had a quarterback, got him a Super Bowl, lobbied for Stafford. Frank Reich lobbied for Carson Wentz. I'm missing somebody.
Josh Allen has worked out well for McDermott.
He's one of the exceptions, a defensive coach.
Herbert?
He inherited it.
Inherited, right. Yeah, that's a good point.
And Andy Reid lobbied for Mahomes.
Pounding the table.
So what I'm saying is a lot of these defensive coaches that are struggling, it's not that they can't coach. They may not understand the significance of what quarterbacks are becoming in this league. Last week, if Josh Allen doesn't slip, 14 of 14 teams with a better quarterback won. Every division is led right now by the best quarterback. The only exception is Mahomes. He's one game out, and he's behind good quarterbacks.
Yeah.
It's just the league is really becoming incredibly quarterback reliant.
Yeah. It's weird. I think you touched on it. The quarterback draft coming up in 2022 is not a good one. I did a mock draft for Fox Sports out today. It's not a great class with Rattler falling off and the kid JT Daniels kind of injured. Quarterbacks are everything. And the Jets, my Jets have one in Zach Wilson. God, come on, I got to pump up my team, man. The Jets PR staff, by the way, loves me. Yes, thank you.
Whatever. Faherty, founded by twin brothers. Get 20% off FahertyBrand.com/herd. FahertyBrand.com/herd. H-E-R-D. Great stuff, McIntyre. Hour 3 is coming up next.